the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Fans, ladies and gentlemen, dogs, cats, children, this is Rant and Wrestling episode 85, and you know who this is. I am Booty KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions. I'm still known as this two times, man. Still known for that. And I'm joined here by the heel of the show. He is still the eater of meals. Ladies and gentlemen, Mo Magic.
I don't need a Twitter video for you marks to know where I took my talents to. You've been listening to them for the last 80-some-odd weeks.
You're welcome, right?
And as always, you're welcome.
Next up here on the show, he's been here since day one. Of course you know this guy here. He is still the tweener world champion, ladies and gentlemen, Doomsday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Percy Watson. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that dude, Percy Watson?
Percy Watkins, man. He tried.
Percy Watkins was a man.
Yo, he was that nigga. I don't know. But yeah. Excuse me. I may be a little nasally or whatever. I took a flu shot a couple days ago, and I've been, like, battling this sickness symptoms and shit. It's really annoying because of this new job I got or whatever. But it's all good. Let's get to the show.
All good in Lee Hood. We are going to first start off with, the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view that happened this past Sunday for the WWE on the network, of course. I didn't see the preview match, the six-man tag, but I just heard that Cesaro got his shit in. Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro, and Neville did defeat Rusev, Sheamus, and King Barrett. Now, word on the street, is Rusev hurt?
Okay, Rusev, apparently, what happened is that on Tuesday, they had the tapings for, main event, and he was facing Neville. Next thing you know, Rusev goes down, they actually straight up end the match, Neville gets the victory, Rusev, does his taunting to the crowd or whatever and then leaves, come to find out that he may have possibly torn his bicep. So he could be out for maybe 3 to 6 weeks, or he may be out 4 to 6 months. So he may be gone for a while. Like,
we ain't a doctor.
Hey man, so shit. He get that surgery or whatever. Like if he's gone for 4 or 6 months, man, he may might as well like use that as like his like honeymoon vacation time and shit. Get married.
Yeah,
like,
use it wisely.
Get married between that time and then just chill out.
Poor guy. And he just came back from an injury from with his ankle.
Yeah, he came back from that shitty ass storyline, and now he has another injury.
That is unfortunate. Well, if one go down, one gotta come up. So next was the show started off with John Cena, his WWE United States Open Challenge. You want some, come get some. Out comes Zeb Coulter. Haven't seen him in a couple of months. He comes out, we're thinking it's going to be Jack Swagger.
Ew.
Coming out of the catacombs and whatnot. Ew. And out comes Alberto Del Rio to face John Cena for the United States Championship. And here we thought, either he was standing and going to Lucha or talking to Dixieland or whatnot. I didn't know
Dixieland,
he was going to come back to WWE.
See?
Back again.
The thing about Alberto that's funny, I'm not surprised at this in the slightest because there was rumors that he was going back for maybe a week or two now. But besides those random rumors, like it's kind of been hinted at it for the fact that He wasn't signed on for Lucha Underground. He wasn't going back there. I guess he had some creative dispute with them. he had the whole thing where he had that flight to Germany. I guess he was going to WXW, and he had a terrible flight because he ended up in, like, either, like, business class or whatever, and then, like, he's complaining about how he should ride first class, and it's subhuman for him to be in business class. So, like the dude's all about the money and the luxury. Like, he lives that lifestyle, like, straight up. So, like, of course, if WWE wants to jump in and, like, toss him, like, bags of money and a good-ass contract, he's going to jump to it. Like, he's gonna jump through those hoops, man. You know, so I'm not surprised by it at all. He must have been paid really well. And the funny thing about it is that, like, he's also still AAA's Mega Champion. So,
right. I did hear about that also. He's still the Mega Champion down there in AAA.
Yeah.
And the reason why he left WWE was because of a racial dispute with some guy?
Yes. What happened
according
with that?
According to him, wasn't it like he wasn't happy?
What? What did
like
you say?
Was, like, according to him, I watched his U shoot, and he was like, I'm not happy. Like, I just wasn't happy there. I wasn't happy. And I mean, but the thing is with him is that he, like, I mean, and the thing is, this is a business. And Kevin Nash is one of the guys who says it best. He says, we always call it the business, but when people treat it like the business, everybody gets all upset. The thing is that these guys are worried about their next paycheck just like we all are. And I think that his whole thing was kind of just the money.
Yeah.
Like, his whole thing was that when he left, the money was shit. And I don't know if that's because of the network or what, but he basically said that the money's been shitty since the network came along. So I guess they offered him a good downside guarantee or whatever it is that they do. And
yeah, know, it was just a combination of that stuff. I think it had to do with money, his position in the company, and the incident. It just all those factors lumped into one eventually had him, like, decide, all right, fuck it, I'm gonna leave. So I'm not surprised that he came back after that dude eventually got fired, and he most likely got a good deal and with a good schedule and a good contract money wise.
And with that, Alberto Del Rio, I mean, he went to Ring of Honor early this year.
Yeah.
He's only been out of, what, WWE for about a year?
A year, like, maybe a year, maybe,
he left after
maybe
Punk,
11
right?
months. I think he left in November. I don't remember exactly what time.
Yeah. No, you're right. He did leave in November, because that's when Lucha Underground started. And towards the end of that, like, year, he was there. He was already there, you know. Or did he come in March? I'm not sure. He was in Ring of Honor first, and then he was in Lucha, and then he was in AAA?
No. He was in AAA last year. Like he showed up in AAA maybe, like, a week after he got released.
Right. Okay, he was in AAA,
and
then Lucha.
Yeah, I think within a few weeks or like a month of him being mega, being in AAA, he won the Mega Championship. So he's had that Mega Championship for almost a year now.
Right. Yeah, so he's still a champion there. He did his little couple matches in Ring of Honor, did a couple matches in Lucha, and now he's back in the WWE and winds up defeating John Cena for the United States Championship. Yes, we have a Mexican as the champion of the United States, people. I don't have a problem with it, but him returning doesn't do much for me, honestly. But, I mean, hey, like I said, Rusev going down, he's going back up. Ain't nobody else fucking with him. He's already in the main event on Raw, so I guess Del Rio's there to stay. Y'all got any thoughts on his return coming back? Do y'all care?
The match itself was great. I love the match. Yeah, but I definitely want to see where it goes with him going forward. Like, as far as the surprise and him having a great match and beating Cena, it was great, but I just want to see where it goes. Like, to actually pass judgment on his whole return. But of course, we'll go over Raw later and like talk a little bit of that stuff too. So, yeah. Right.
But Mofo, you got any thoughts on Alberto Del Rio winning the U.S. Championship and his return?
I like Del Rio. This, you know, I mean, I guess it's kind of surreal with the whole thing of him coming back out of nowhere. But I guess it is what it is. And you know, I didn't watch the match actually. But the thing is that I mean, I guess he had to get a. I'm glad that they kind of made the surprise. I guess that's the best they're gonna do. That's the best we can ask for, but it's kind of sort of. I mean, you would hope there'd be like a Cesaro or something like that, but it's not. But you know, it looks like they have him with Zeb. I mean, I don't know where this goes, and I don't know what he's gonna do. But it just feels like
it's a good play, though, if you really, really think about it. Just for the fact that you got Zeb Coulter, who was all anti-Mexico, and now he's aligned with Alberto Del Rio. And he's the U.S. champion. And you have all this shit with Trump and his hate for Mexicans and shit like that. So they kind of, I guess they kind of played like the.
My biggest thing is like, I guess I kind of want to know more details about his deal.
Exactly, yeah. But the rumor is that his deal is that he's not working as much as everybody else. That's part of his deal. Like he's not his workload isn't as much, and he's getting paid more, and he's still gonna be able to work his AAA date in the scheduled AAA dates for some time or whatever. That's the deal that we've heard so far.
Interesting. All right. We'll move on to the next match that they have here, the Hell in a Cell match, the first of two Hell in a Cell matches. Roman Reigns, Mofo Magic's their client, going up against Bray Wyatt. Now, I heard this was one of the matches of the night. I didn't even see it, but I will check it out.
It definitely was one of the matches of the night, though. Yeah.
Good.
They both of them got their shit in. They had tables. Both of them went through tables. He had the kendo sticks, some chair spots, and all the other shit like that. It was good. Real good Hell in a Cell match, despite not having blood as it's been for, like, the past few years. Definitely up there, though, as one of the better ones. Like, both of them definitely got their shit in, though. But, of course, Roman ended up picking up the win. He takes another L as usual, but
yeah, I told you, don't matter with him, man. He could be in the biggest feud in the world. He'll lose.
Don't matter, as you will talk about later.
Yep, so. It doesn't even matter at Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
I guess next match, tag team championship, the New Day defeated the Dudley Boys, not by disqualification, but they actually beat them this time. How they had the trombone. And just interfered with that, and the Dudley Boys just can't get over on the New Day. The New Day is tag team champions. You guys got any thought about this match, or just them still being champions in general?
I actually saw
that match. Yeah. There's not much of it though. But the thing is, with the New Day and the Dudley, it's getting to the point, man. I don't know how the Dudley's going to get over on them. I mean, I guess they're going to win in a tables match or whatever, but. It's kind of sort of just, I mean, New Day's flipping entertaining. How can you not love New Day? The other thing is the Xavier Wood armband.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That was pretty creative. I like that.
No, those guys got over on their own. And, you know, you always got to love that. You always got to love when the act gets over on their own. They persevere and they get over. You got to love that.
So keep the belts on them.
Absolutely. I don't know who you get
who else will put it on.
Self too.
Right. If it's not the Dudleys, then who are you going to?
Well, speaking of which, I thought when Dean came into the room, I thought he was talking to Roman about going after the tag titles. I was like, I mean, I guess that's cool. But, yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know who else is out there. Like,
you're right.
Ain't no other tag teams. They all split them up or they just don't exist. to us that way.
Plus, plus the way things are going with Roman and Dean, it's most likely not even going to be, they're probably not even going to be together anymore, so it's whatever.
Yeah, it looks like they dropping hints. We know.
Yeah.
The next match is for the Divas Championship. No Diva was allowed at ringside. This is straight up one-on-one. Charlotte going up against Nikki Bella. Actually, not a bad match.
Yeah,
not
a bad match at all. Yeah,
really competitive. Both girls brought it. Charlotte still Divas Champion. Mofo, did you catch this match?
I saw this match, I believe I saw it from start to finish, actually. And I was actually really impressed by it. I mean, I thought it was a good match. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I think the whole thing is that there's nothing Nikki Bella can do that will get naysayers to get on her side.
Right.
But she did a really, really, I've been a big fan of her work. Charlotte did a good job, got busted open. So, you know, but, you know, the thing is, I actually liked the match a lot. Charlotte was really good in it. You know, Bright Girl won and everything, even though I'm a big, Nikki Bella fan. So, you know.
Yeah. Can't regain the title, but I think we all saw that, Charlotte was going to win this match. We just didn't know how good the match was going to be. And actually, the match was actually pretty good. Charlotte got way more offense in this match than she did last time when
right,
she won.
Right, exactly.
You know, because she only did 3 moves and beat the bitch, but it's cool. Next match is for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The champion Seth Rollins defeated Kane, and now he has defeated Kane. Demon Kane is now full-time because Corporate Kane is not Director of Operations anymore. I guess this is like a passable main event. Yes, Seth Rollins did win clean because I hear he loses a lot, and he doesn't really win clean as often. But this was the right choice for them. Seth Rollins just needed an opponent for Hell in a Cell, and he did his thing, and he beat Kane. It was just a really simple match. Mofo, Doomsday, you got any thoughts on Seth Rollins still being a champion and how the match was?
Yeah, the outcome was how it should have been, like him winning. Match itself was bland. I really wasn't feeling it at all. Like, Kane as a, like Kane gets his shit in, but it was just boring to me. That's the thing about it. It was an average match at best. Like it was something that you'd see on Raw, like maybe mid.
Yeah, like, yeah, just mid, like a Raw main event.
Like midway, even midway through Raw. I don't know.
But even if this was a Raw main event, Seth Rollins would have lost.
Yeah.
He does not win on TV. He'll win on the big days when you need him to. On those Sundays, he'll deliver. But on Mondays, nah, he loses. And he talk about Hall of Fame worthy, sure. Mofo, you got any thoughts on this? Long title reign for Seth.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now, I mean, his challengers are just lukewarm. That's just how it is, but good match. And I mean, Kane, for some reason, does always, he's one of those guys, he's just solid. But
yeah,
it's just one of those
things,
it's just, you kind of wish that he had faced someone else, but, you know, I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know, you just wish that Kane didn't have to be the guy he faced, but good storytelling and everything like that, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, they definitely had the story down. But now that Seth Rollins is finally done with Kane and ready to move on, Kane is probably going to move on, of course. We'll talk about that later. Next match, really quick Intercontinental Championship match. Kevin Owens did defeat the Ryback. Enough said?
Forgettable. Completely forgettable.
Same.
Nothing. Wasn't even bad. It was just like, it was just like a throwaway match.
Yeah.
That was it.
They didn't even have no effort. It just was.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens wins, and that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Next up is the main event, the Hell in a Cell match. Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell. Brock Lesnar showing some color. So did The Undertaker, showing some color, ripping the mat, and so you can see the exposed board and stuff. They had the chair shots, the steel steps, falling on Brock Lesnar's face. But it took 3 F5s to take down the dead man, and Brock Lesnar defeat The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell. One of the matches of the night besides the first Hell in a Cell. Doomsday, you got any thoughts on Lesnar Taker?
Yeah, that was a brutal match and shit like that. I liked it. Brock Lesnar stays getting himself busted on in these matches. It's funny as hell. But the funny, apparently, like, they say Vince McMahon was, like, pissed off. Like, he was in the gorilla position. God. He was like...
He acted like he hasn't seen blood before.
Yeah, but it's PG, and you know how that...
Yeah, people... What? Girls see blood every month. I don't want to hear it. He'll be okay.
But,
he'll be fine.
Yeah.
PG my ass. Well, they need to start lightening up, man. I was raised on blood, but you're being shown. That's how you know it's a feud, man. It's hell in a cell.
Exactly,
it's
right?
Brock Lesnar. These guys ain't supposed to be holding back. This is their last time fighting. They did the best they could with what they had. You know, and it wound up being fantastic. I have no complaints on this one. Blood or no.
I liked how, like, Brock was still doing the suplexes, the gorilla, the German suplexes, and then he even did the whole ground and pound. He was beating Undertaker's face in. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hit him with that ground and pound like it was nobody's business.
Right. The steel steps.
Yeah.
That one went right in his eyebrow.
Yeah.
Right on his face. I was like, ooh, that's real painful. But they kept it in Hell in a Cell. They did not break the cell at all.
Nah.
No one climbed on the top.
No, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen.
I honestly forgot, you know, that they could actually do that. But maybe it's because I, you know, played a video game a lot. But, Mofo, Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker. Your thoughts?
Honestly, I didn't see the match, but I heard blood and everything involved. I liked the fact that, it was blood involved, and I like the fact they got physical and everything. Brock selling the match afterwards and everything, and I mean, I thought this was going to be match of the night. I didn't see it, and I'm actually kind of excited for you to actually look at it.
Yeah, it was really, really, really solid match. Both of those guys did their thing. At the end, everybody was like, thank you, Taker. You know, it seems like that it's winding down for him. I don't want to jump the gun. Because I know I probably said that like 2 years ago, because he beat Triple H, and I thought the end of an era. Maybe it was time for him to be done. No, he kept going. So this time it might seem like for real, it might be winding down for him. So he goes and about to do his little eye roll taunt on one knee, and all of a sudden it goes black, comes back on. The Wyatt family is surrounding the ring. So the Wyatts beat up The Undertaker, who just went through a brutal Hell in a Cell with Lesnar, and they carry him out to end the show. All four of them. Rowan Harper, Strowman, and Bray got the whole world in their hands. And now they take The Undertaker. Y'all guys got any thoughts on this here situation?
Hopefully it's something more interesting than a lot of the shit that's been going on with Bray Wyatt and the family. Just involve and some more involvement with Undertaker is, I think, a good thing for him, I guess. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they look like they're setting up something for Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, yeah.
Because it's their, because it was like 25 years of Taker, because that's when he debuted on that Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they're going to have a big match in store for them. I haven't seen Undertaker in like a Survivor Series type of match maybe since the winner take all Survivor Series match with the Alliance against the WWF. That's to my knowledge the last time I've seen him in the
show. Yeah, that's the only thing that's the only one I remember.
Right. The ones I remember. He doesn't do a lot of those big tag matches.
The Undertaker?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as
his first match was in a Survivor Series match.
The who?
The first match he has was in a Survivor Series match.
I'm talking about the last
one. About the last one he's been in.
Oh, the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, off the top of my head, that Lions match, that's off the top.
Yeah, because usually it's he's in the Buried Alive matches. That's usually his big match at Survivor Series.
Yeah. So we might get it. Not sure. We're just going to have to wait and see. Scale of 1 to 10 this show, Doomsday.
I give it a 7.
Not bad. I'd say 7, even though I didn't see the first Hell in a Cell match. I did see the rest. 7. Passable. Nothing to skip over, I would say. So, and Mofo, you said you only seen half of it, correct?
I only saw probably 1.5 matches, so I'm going to give it an incomplete. It would be unfair for me to give it a grade.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we move on to Monday Night Raw, which I actually did see. I didn't see it live because I stayed jab on Hulu Plus to get that 90-minute game. And, not bad. Not bad wrestling-wise.
Yeah.
To start the show, of course, you know, it had Seth Rollins going out there talking this shit because he defeated Kane, and now all of his challengers, he doesn't have any, really. So, Triple H decides to have a four-way number one contenders match. I forgot all the competitors that was in there. Total, I just know what. Cesaro faced Kevin Owens. Dolph Ziggler faced Big E. Alberto faced
Neville.
And Roman Reigns fought
Kofi
Kingston. Right. And they did an exceptional job. And him and Big E talking about how oily his hair is and how his outfit is booty. He never changed it. It was like he never changed his outfit since the Shield, like 3 years ago. It was like changing colors, man. He was wearing the same colors, man. Gets a different color. So yeah, that was good. And it turns out the four-way wound up being Roman Reigns versus Dolph Ziggler versus Alberto versus Kevin Owens. And the winner was going to face Seth Rollins, and the hype on this match towards the end was actually really, really entertaining. These guys were definitely destroyed each other trying to get this.
Yeah, it was a great match. Yeah, it was really good.
Really, really fun. Like I said, wrestling-wise, show was fine. Oh, yeah, by the way, Paige already turned. Why she turned to Monday and not, what, 2-3 Mondays ago? I don't know.
Oh, I missed that. What happened with Paige? Because, like, the last thing I saw when I was watching Raw was how, like, she wanted to get back in her good graces or whatever, and then, like, and backstage.
Yeah,
what happened after that?
She wanted to, and then the girls lost the match to You Can Look But You Can't Touch group, and then all of a sudden she just snapped and started beating up on Becky Lynch and Charlotte. So, you know, they're definitely going to have a program with that. And that's about it, because I definitely thought she was going to turn heel the day she did that little page bomb and whatnot. But I guess they do everything at their own speed. But back to the four-way, Roman Reigns did become victorious. It seemed like it was how they were, like, building it up through the whole show. Dean was talking to him in the back. Roman Reigns came out there on the mic in the beginning of the show talking about, hey, I'm going to get my title. Or, you know, because he hasn't had a title shot since, since Mania, I believe.
Yeah, but since WrestleMania.
He was in the four-way. I mean, I guess that he hasn't had a one-on-one title shot at all.
Yeah, one-on-one title shot.
Yeah.
At all. And he was going up against Lesnar by himself. So, after that, yeah, really, really good match. The hype, not the hype for, like, Ziggler Reigns, but the hype for Owens and Reigns, that one was actually something I wanted to
see. Yeah, yeah.
On the line.
That was good.
And, is actually good, and something else I actually want to see is Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns. I think this can be really, really good if it's done right, if they let these two guys do what they do, whether it's on the mic or in the ring, this could be a very, very entertaining match, and I hate overhyping match before they happen, but I'm intrigued. They looked at each other at the end, and Roman was like, keep that belt warm, son, I'm coming. And Seth is like, hey, man, you know, I know I can beat you. So, you know, you better try your best. It doesn't matter. I like it. So, Doomsday, you got any thoughts? Number one contender is Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really great. Yeah, Roman Reigns is the obvious choice for number one contender. Crowd was definitely into it. The crowd was, like, really, really into it, like, that night. It's going to be really interesting to see where it goes. Yeah, definitely let these two just beat themselves and get loose on each other. It's going to be it should be something that has to be done meticulously and just, like, let it go natural, you know? Because, like, I think those two can do very well with each other. But, yeah, it's definitely a good look. But the match itself, the four-way before that was great. I liked Del Rio and Owens doing their little team up shit and then turning on each other. That was a good element in it. Yeah, but everything from that ending of Raw was good.
Yes. Mofo, I don't know if you saw Raw, but Roman Reigns, number one contender. Do you think he could take the title off of Seth Rollins.
What do you think? I think.
I don't know. It's it could go either way. I want to know your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean he should have won it at WrestleMania. So.
Oh.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal. They gave it to him at Survivor Series. They gave him the title shot at Survivor Series. I mean, I don't know if he's going to win it or if Dean's going to cost him the match or how they're going to do it, but I'm really interested to see how this goes down.
It's unpredictability. That's something that I like when I watch my wrestling. Unpredictability in a good in-ring work match. We don't know. Roman Reigns could lose. Seth Rollins could win. We do not know, and that's how I like to have it. I want to see. I want to know who's going to win. I want to know if Dean's going to cost him the match. Maybe Dean might not cost him the match. Who knows? Maybe Seth Rollins might beat him legit or might find a way to cheat. You know, because he barely got past Dean Ambrose, and everybody was giving him shit for it. But if he gets past Roman Reigns, who can say that Seth Rollins is a bad champion? And I like how they like to put Roman Reigns on hold. Because it seemed like everybody didn't want him to win at WrestleMania, and everybody was all pouty and stuff, how they was building him. He won the Royal Rumble, blah, blah, blah. They put it on hold, let Roman Reigns get himself going. The fans were cheering. Fans were booing Seth Rollins. So it is a high possibility that he could be the next champion. You know? So that's my thoughts on it. Anything else y'all wanted to bring up on Raw, or y'all want to talk about that match?
Yeah, luck. I'm just happy the Susan G. Komen breast cancer shit's over.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
That's
finally awesome. Not October.
Finally.
We're done. October.
We're done. Finally.
We are done.
Doomsday, you got some news.
More
certain wrestling company.
News. I'm just gonna go over what happened on the Road to Power Struggle Day 2 card that went down this past weekend. That also doubled as the first round of the Super Juniors tag tournament. They had Hiroki Goto and Shibata and Togi Makabe versus the young lions of Jay White, Sho Tanaka, and Komatsu. Of course, the young lions took the L in that one. The next match was Sakuraba, Nakamura, Toriyano, and Yoshihashi against the Bullet Club B team of Bad Luck Fale, Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Tama Tonga. And, of course, the Chaos team ended up winning that one. Next one was Gedo, Okada, and Ishii versus Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, and Honma, and that one also. And then in comes the tournament itself. The Red Dragon ended up defeating Liger and Tiger Mask, which was a decent match. Next match was Beretta and Rocky Romero, who ended up defeating the team of Chase Owens and Kenny Omega, and actually a really good match. Interesting enough with that one, Chase Owens comes out, and he's dressed in Bullet Club gear, so he was basically kind of silently inducted into the Bullet Club. So, yeah, Chase Owens of NWA fame is now a member of the Bullet Club, which is a pretty good fit for him, I guess. He's a good wrestler, too, so we'll see how that goes. Next match was the Young Bucks versus Dorada and Taguchi. This was a really good one also. Young Bucks ended up picking up the win with a Meltzer driver, Indie Taker, whatever you want to call it. And the last match ended up being Seidel and Ricochet versus the time splitters of Alex Shelley and Kushida. This one was a really good match, probably the best match of the night. And Ricochet and Matt Seidel ended up winning that match. So the semifinals will be the teams of Ricochet, Inside All, the Young Bucks, Roppongi Vice and Red Dragon all going into it. I don't know who's going to face who, but it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. Yeah. So that's that card. You guys got any thoughts on that?
We could talk about the semifinals or who's going to the finals. I believe they're only having a show on November 1st, right?
The semifinals is in a few days or so.
They said the November 1st and the finals on the 7th.
And the finals on the 7th, which will be Power Struggle. So the semifinals, the card, I don't even know if I have the card posted anywhere.
Yeah, I don't have the card. I just have the semifinal rounds.
Right. This is supposed to be day three of their show, or day four or five. I don't know what the hell it is.
I think it's day two. You said, when is the semifinals, you said?
Yeah, when's the semifinals, exactly. I think it's supposed to be day... was it day four? It might be day four of Power Struggle. Road to Power Struggle. But I don't even know... I can't even find the card anywhere on that one. So I guess we'll have to... The only thing that we know of in that card is the four teams that are actually going, which is Red Dragon, Roppongi Vice, Young Bucks, and Ricochet and Mets et al. So
yeah. So I guess we could just book those two matches. That's all we can, like.
We don't even know who's facing who. That's the problem.
Oh wait, it's on random.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's at random, so you don't even know who it is.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
Well, Red Dragon's gonna win anyway, no matter who we face, because we can beat Roppongi Vice, we beat the Young Bucks, and of course we can beat Mets et al. And Ricochet.
Matt Sydal and Ricochet were, like, really, really over. Specifically Ricochet. Yo, Japanese folks loved that man.
And they beat the Time Splitters?
Yeah, they beat the Time Splitters, yeah.
Oh,
multiple junior heavyweight tag champs. Yeah.
That's why I was like, because they got it set up as Red Dragon versus Roppongi Vice and Young Bucks against Matt Sydal and Ricochet. But if it's at random... I don't care. I'm picking Red Dragon to beat all of them. If need be. We won last year, didn't we? It was the finals.
Yeah.
They went to the finals last time, so hopefully if they get to the finals, I'll be happy. That's all I'm looking for them. Just get to the finals, man. And then we'll worry about the next match. Alright, so what else is on the news?
Newsworthy shit. Okay, let's see what is on the little thingy. Naomi, she's been sparsely used, of course, and sparsely spotlighted in WWE and Raw, etc., etc. And she decided to kind of vent her frustrations on Twitter. I won't go into any details too much about it, but basically... What ended up happening is that she retweeted a lot of memes that were expletive laced, like a lot of fucks and blah 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 and all this sort of shit like that. Basically talking, and most of these memes are basically talking about, oh, why hasn't Naomi been pushed and blah blah blah. You know, the shit that we've been echoing for like a year now.
Right.
Her frustrations definitely started to build. You got people criticizing her about what's been going on Twitter. It's a shame, really, but like, you can't really blame her at this point, because it's like she's had so many different opportunities pass by her, and you've had to ask why hasn't she gotten any type of real shot. And it's just really frustrating as the person it's been done to. Like, you'd have to put it in her, you have to be like, go into her shoes and see, like, yeah, like, I'd be pissed too. Like, so I'm not surprised by her reaction. I'm not going to criticize it at all, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, she may end up facing some type of repercussions for it, but still, like, you kind of still feel, like, her pain on it. So, like, what's your thoughts on it?
Like, there's a lot of people there that has opportunities passing by or they're not used properly. I like that the fact that they're getting their voices heard, because people there, like they said, do always walk on eggshells, and they're all scared to speak up for themselves. It looks like she's doing it. I don't know if she's doing it the right way, going on social media, because you know how that goes. If you go on social media, you're more than likely going to get in trouble for something, you know. But she's frustrated, you know. I would be frustrated, too. I think she... I'm not going to say she did get her opportunity, because I don't think she really didn't. Yeah, she had title shots before. She had plenty of title shots. Old show, and I think she had that one with E. Torres. You can see how old that is. Yeah. How old that is, you know. So yeah, she has a title shot.
But the fact that they only consider her a contender, that's the top. That's like the ceiling that they think she'll ever be. Like, they think that, oh, she can be a good contender. She can be a good contender. I guess she's kind of realized that it's never even crossed their mind that, oh, you could be a champion. You could be a champion. No, you're a great contender. You can wrestle pretty well and be a good foil to the champion, but you'll never get there. I think that's the problem. Like, yeah. Like, she's more of a tool to actually be that person that could benefit from anything else.
Yeah, and people, when they work there, some people just call it a job. Some people really want to be the best person there. Some people want to be a champion, and it's like what she's saying. She wants to be a champion, and they don't even see her as, like, anyone that they can build. Let's say if she wins the title. Yeah. How long do you think she's going to have it? You know damn well she ain't going to have no Nikki Bella title reign. She might have an Alicia Fox title reign.
Yeah, and it's absurd that she hasn't even at least had an Alicia Fox title reign, you know?
She didn't even have an Alicia Fox title reign.
She can't even say that. That's the problem.
Right. Can't even, plenty of title shots though. Plenty. You know, had a storyline going, talking about she's out there for herself, she's bad now, nothing.
Yeah, that's,
I don't even think she's bad or relevant right now.
That was a wasted opportunity.
Yeah. You know, they, I don't know. Mofo, you got any thoughts on this?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that we have been talking about how Naomi's been underutilized for what, months now? Almost close to a year. It's just,
yeah.
It's crazy how much she gets underutilized. But that's the thing, is that it really does feel like they just don't care. Like they put her in her place and that's what they want her to be. And, you know, it kind of sucks because, I mean, she's really, really talented. She should be in a better place, but she's not. And it's really frustrating. Really, really frustrating to me, my honest opinion.
Yeah. You know, but they got people in line. But I don't even think there's a line.
There really isn't. Like,
you know, I don't think there's a line at all.
Like, who's at this point, who's next in line? The most upsetting thing about who's next in line is that it's probably going to be Paige again. That's the biggest problem.
Okay, you got Paige, and then after Paige, maybe, I guess,
but still, like, how long is that going to be?
And then what about Sasha Banks? People still want her to be up there, too.
People wanted Sasha for some time, but the only good thing about Sasha is that she's just gotten there. She has some time before people should be really frustrated about it.
Or you can go to the forgotten one, the Becky Lynch. You can also do stuff with her.
Becky Lynch is kind of sort of, she is a sidekick. I mean, what does Becky Lynch do?
She's a sidekick. Yeah, that's a shame.
On the main roster, yeah, she's a sidekick. On NXT, she's actually taken seriously.
Yeah, but, like, what does she do? Why are you here? Like, that, she is becoming very, very, very much getting to that level of, oh, hey, why are you here again? I didn't tell you to wait in the car.
Don't we have the same thing with Naomi? Why are you here?
But see, the thing is that Naomi is at least like she had feuds and stuff like that. Naomi's whole issue is, you know, she's not taken seriously and it just looked like she's taking it as a joke. Becky Lynch's problem is that literally, why the fuck are you here? What do you do? What does Becky Lynch do? Anybody know what Becky Lynch does?
Not really.
Yeah. Is she a sidekick?
She hangs out with Charlotte.
That's pretty much it. She's Crash Holly.
And mind you, right now, you already got competitors, so if you put her up there with the Pages and the Nikki Bella, she's just going to be behind them. So if she waits
a
turn...
I'm giving her too much credit calling her Crash Holly. She's more like fucking Shannon Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, right now, you know, give her a couple months, and eventually they're going to have to get to her eventually. And same thing for Sasha, eventually... They'll get theirs. They brought them up there for a reason. Just everybody can't be number one contender at the same time. I think that's how it works there. I could be wrong.
Could be wrong.
Could be. Who knows? We don't know how it is.
Bless your heart, but there's nothing about what's going on with them that makes me believe that she's going to be anything more, that Becky Lynch is anything more than just a bit player. I mean, it kind of is obvious where they wanted to go with this. They were big in the Bellas because the Bellas bring in money. And he's a big fan of Charlotte, and Charlotte's the person getting the push. They brought up, what, three, four of these fuckers, and Tamina Snuka's up, and Naomi was all involved, and, I mean, Team Bad hasn't done shit. They might as well be the NWOB team. They might as well add Virgil.
Instead of it being Team Bella against, you know, what is it, PBM? What is the name? PNC? Or now they're like, what? BC?
they're CB right now.
Oh, God.
They're CB.
Okay. So instead of them, it was going to be Team Bella against Team Bad. And then people were going to be like, well, what about Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Paige? You know, this is going to be an endless cycle of what about. You know, that's how I see it. Either one, they're going to have to just wait their turn and hope for the best. Because what else are you going to do? It's just going to be cluttered. Everybody's going to be sitting in the front seat when there are only two front seats, the champion and the challenger. So that's how I put it in my little honesty.
Yeah, I guess.
What else we got here on the agenda?
What else on the agenda? There was also...
More news.
What? What's the scoop? What's the scoop?
We got
more news that's not news.
News is not news. Oh, yeah, the whole, Rich Swann, they made it news, I guess, like WWE Live made that news, even though people have known for weeks that he's been signed to the WWE, so that's whatever. And, another news that's not news, the Young Bucks, formally announced that they would no longer be, free agents, and now they're officially signed to Ring of Honor's exclusively. So, news is not news.
They're officially signed to a company. Well, what company is it? It's
that
the same company
before.
They were on just now there. But they said something interesting. This is apparently the most lucrative deal in the company.
That's what they did. Yeah, that's what they said.
I don't know how true that is or
not,
but...
Well, their whole shtick is that they make more money than a lot of people. So it's like, it could be true, it could not be true. It's whatever.
I imagine that they were, because, I mean, they were easily breaking in six figures, and probably even more than that, they said, just by Japan.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing that kind of gave it away with the whole who they signed with exclusively, because it doesn't make sense for them to sign somewhere exclusively, like a TNA.
Yeah.
Considering that Ring of Honor works with New Japan. So, and I'm sure part of the reason why they wanted to even, why they were even free agents, because New Japan apparently, they're apparently paying them and AJ a shit ton of money.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, they're making bank over there for them. So, I mean, for them to even sign, I mean, it would only make sense they signed up with Ring of Honor. I mean, I don't see them losing money to go to NXT and losing all that endorsement. I mean, you see fucking Bullet Club shirts there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've all, and honestly, they said something to, how can I put this? They said something about basically they want to go straight to the main roster. In so many words. I mean, I don't know how much truth there is to that, but
I wouldn't be surprised.
They give me the impression that they kind of want to go straight to the main roster. They don't want to spend time in NXT.
I would not be surprised at all if they do that. Because why would they give up the big money to be schlepping it in NXT for like how many, like maybe a few years, maybe five, who knows how long, and then possibly not make it to WWE. So... yeah, it'd be all or nothing for them. Like, and I'm not surprised at all with that.
Well, good thing that they're signed, though.
Yeah.
Not a WWE type signing, but they are not free agents. So that means they're no more PWG.
Yeah, they're no longer in. I believe they're no longer in PWG. They still have the tag belts though, so I guess they may end up working. Whatever date they have left, and that'll be it. Like, and then get the belts taken off of them, and that'll be it.
Most over tag team there. They're going to miss them.
Yeah, they're going to miss them.
Yeah, PWG will just...
PWG finds new people, though. That's the thing about them. They'll find
new people. They don't got to find a new tag team to fill that gap, or they can just combine two wrestlers together like they always do.
Yeah.
Be nothing like the Young Bucks, man. It just got fucking Mount Rushmore 2.0.
Yep.
It just started that.
Yeah.
Damn. What else?
Another thing, I had just learned about this new Kickstarter. I think I contacted you guys about it, called Muscle Temple. Apparently there's a whole team of creators and stuff are developing a whole comic anthology. I believe it's... 50 pages of just like a comic about wrestling, professional wrestling, and it's just a slew of creators, like a whole bunch of indie talents, writers, artists, one guy who worked on Adventure Time, and another guy, a few other guys who've been working on like Nickelodeon stuff. So it's a good deal, like a good deal of people that are working on that. So yeah, definitely search for Muscle Temple on Kickstarter and stuff like that. So it should be pretty cool. Yeah.
Good.
I'd read shit out of it. Yeah, it'd be good shit. And then what other news we got?
Also about the Young Bucks, to bring it back. Apparently, they, on Twitter, they did say they can still work in PWG.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting.
Well, there we go.
You got a good idea.
They got a good
idea.
Whatever they got something good. Don't know how long the deal is, but still, good nonetheless. Alright.
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah, I was going to get to... But you guys heard about that Hulk Hogan 1998 contract, right?
No.
Apparently a day or two ago, some dude who finds a lot of paperwork and stuff from like old wrestling companies, I don't know how he does it, and he posts them online. Same dude that actually posted a lot of like paperwork for a lot of the lawsuits WCW has had over the years. Especially the ones from like the late, from like 2000, like basically the Death Knell era of WCW. Just a whole bunch of racially charged lawsuits and shit like that.
Those are just horrible lawsuits. Like Hard Work Bobby Walker.
Yeah,
and he was held down because he was black. Like,
so it was a lot of dudes. It was a lot of dudes who like you didn't know existed filing a lawsuit, and Sonny Ono, and Missy Hyatt, I believe, also sued too. They had the whole 1998 contract. He would basically, off of pay-per-views alone, he would essentially earn $16 million a year on pay-per-views alone. Like, he had a contract where it's either he had like four, if he either got 4 million, I think he did like four pay-per-views a year, and each pay-per-view was $4 million. And if he didn't get $4 million from it, he'd get like what? I think 15%, either 10 or 15% of the profit for the pay-per-view. So he got over $16 million a year on pay-per-views, on top of the whole like his pay for appearances on Nitro and all that shit like that. So he got paid an insane amount of money, and then of course you had the whole creative control deal with him. We all kind of know about that one, but it's real interesting. Yeah, if you get the chance, look up Hulk Hogan's 1998 contract, and you can look all of that stuff up. And yeah, that man bled that company.
That's a shame.
He bled that company.
That's your boy Hogan.
Yeah.
Insane money he was making.
He was making that paper, man. But and then the last thing I'll talk about, Ring of Honor is doing their whole Women of Honor Wednesdays now on YouTube. I guess every Wednesday now they'll post a Women of Honor match. This week was Veda Scott versus Sumi Sakai, which was actually a pretty decent match, actually. Definitely check that out. I would definitely look forward to seeing more of those down the line.
If you needed to see one of the worst matches ever, you can watch. I'm telling you, on this, it looks like there is Mandy Leon versus Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, that one was awesome. That one was. I don't want to be harsh on that one. It was not great. That match was not great.
What was wrong with it?
Mandy Leon was pretty bad in that match. I think that match was posted like months ago when they were first trying to build up and start this whole Women of Honor thing. But it was a bad match. Like, who is it? Deonna Purrazzo, whatever. She was good in the match. She was good, but like Mandy Leon was just brought the whole thing down. Missed cues. Everything was bad. Yeah, not good. But I think their roster of women has gotten better since then, so I don't know. They also, Taylor Hendricks is part of the HOT now, so that's one interesting thing. The funny thing about Taylor Hendricks is that I saw one promo from her and Truth Martini. I think it was a match from last week. It was a promo for a match from last week. Donovan Dijak versus AJ Styles. And yeah. I hear her voice, and I'm like, why does she sound British? Like, go to Ring of Honor or Wrestling.
I know her video you're talking about. Yeah, not British.
She's not British. Crap. At all.
I'm watching this patch. Why does Streamer Guy have a Mandy Leon sign?
Yo,
because he's told.
Because he's lusting after Mandy Leon. He's like
the only one.
I'm telling you, Mandy Leon is like the Eva Marie of Ring of Honor. Until she
Velvet
gets
Sky. Exactly the Velvet Sky. Oh my, same entrance and everything.
Inspiration. That's what it is.
If you're pretty and you got big boobs, you can wrestle. Who cares if you can't? Like Deonna Purrazzo sitting there like, I had to work hard to get this. I had to work hard to get here. Yes, you did, darling.
Yes, you
boy
did.
Didn't bless you like he blessed her. We all can't be 16, you know what I'm saying?
I know. You feel me?
You feel me? You feel me? Oh, man.
Delirious. I worked for 10 years. Sure.
One day she's going to stumble on this episode.
She got more streamers, too.
Hey,
she got streamers. God damn it. She Oh, man. She's trying, though. Bless her heart.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with trying. Nothing wrong with trying. Some people don't try, you know. Hey, live the dream, yo. Live the dream.
Exactly. Use those Bone Breakers classes.
Or, yay. Get a
Bone Breakers.
To get what you want.
Did you, you had an EWA show this weekend that you went to, right?
Yes. We did one last week at, on the 24th. It was the, Last Rites, I believe. Nice, little comfortable show. Not too bad. Decent amount of people there. That's the only thing I've been worried about is how many people come to those shows.
Only seen a headlock. That's all that's been there is headlock.
They gotta stick to the times, yo.
Uh-oh, come on, reference.
They're starting to announce the times now. So, like, in the middle of the match, they'd be like, 5 minutes has passed. 5 minutes. I was like,
oh, that's from the 90s.
Yeah. Stick to your times. You stick to your times.
This match will last for the TV time limit.
Mm-hmm. TV
five
time.
5 minutes has passed.
They gotta stick to their times. Because they want to be out by, like, 10 o'clock. And I think one show, we ain't leave till like 10:45. And we was just like, yo, we should not be out here this long. You know, now
everybody got to get their shit in.
Please do. Get your shit in. They want everybody to get over. You know, get your shit in. Have fun. But stick to your time. Do not go over. Not even a minute. Because people got to go in there and cut promos. And they just got to stick to it. And that's why they like 5 minutes in the match. 5 minutes.
What was that?
You said what? Oh, he cut out.
Oh, no.
Shit. He was about to get his, shit. See, if he would have stuck his tongue, he wouldn't have got cut off.
Oh, man.
All right, moving
on. I'm sorry. My phone disconnected, so God damn it.
Well, see, you should have stick to your time, man.
Be like that sometimes.
You're going to pull the plug.
Trying to head scissors. Hey, good job. Look at 50 seconds to get up.
Wow. What are you at? Like
she took her time getting up there for that.
Yo, oh, it was real bad. I'm sorry. It was bad.
Over there at a 6-year-old basketball game and shit. Just saying good job to everything.
Falls on her. She has a clothesline for the apron. Instead of doing the clothesline, she kind of falls on her.
Oh, good. Poor thing.
Here it comes! Oh, she likes to talk shit during the match, though, so that's pretty interesting.
Bring that sass to the ring, man.
Right. Come on! Come on!
Remo! I can't do it.
Exactly. Oh, shit.
Remo! All right, moving on now. What else we got? News? More news?
Threw her ass into the barrier. She meant that shit. That wasn't part of the match. Watch this. Ring of Honor Wrestling on their YouTube page. Evangeline Leon versus Deonna Purrazzo. Bless her heart.
Bless her.
Don't sell it. Don't sell it. Get it back in the race.
Yeah, man.
She just went right back in. Oh, my abdomens, I guess, hurt.
Oh, man. Y'all over there picking apart this match. Now I have to watch it.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, I tried, like, honestly, I tried to, like, kind of sugarcoat.
Wait, this is on,
Weren't you doing that?
What?
You were here for this. This is Death Before Dishonor, right?
Oh, shit. Was I here?
Wait, it's on YouTube now, right?
No, I thought that, I think that was that? Cause
well, that was the night after. That was the night after,
because like I was there because you know how I do. I only show up for the pay-per-views, but don't show up for the, like the TV taping the day after.
Yeah, we got shit to do now.
Yeah,
do now, Joe. You ain't just gonna throw up the phone on the TV taping.
You're like TV taping, huh? Like I
now want to find it. I'm finding it.
Oh, it's not hard to find. All you gotta do is put in Women of Honor.
Yeah, Women of Honor, yeah.
All right. So while I do that.
Oh, speaking of other, like, any non-related wrestling news or whatever, you guys hear that Zola story yet?
Zola
story? Only thing I've heard about this week is how the girl got slammed in the classroom. I know nothing about it, but the guy was really pissed off about the fact the officer got fired, and I have people who are mad the officer did it. That's all I know about. That's the only non-wrestling news I've seen this week.
Oh, really?
That, and then I won my second fantasy football game this week.
I don't even want to talk about fantasy football. I'm just thinking that was left and right.
What? 3-game losing streak. Why? Why?
I've been on a 7-game losing streak. Don't tell me about no
3. Why? I was 4-0. 4-0.
I had Blake Bortles. I had Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, and Brian Hoyer. I started Blake Bortles, and he got the least amount of points.
Yo, he let
literally
me down.
Derek Carr had a really good game, but Brian Hoyer was at -4 points to my league, and somehow, some way, ended up with 18 because they were down 44-0.
Yo, that shit hurt my soul. That shit hurt my soul.
Andrew Luck. I have no running back still to this day. I have no running back.
Oh, I had Arian Foster.
Get in the end zone. None of them got in the end zone.
Oh, I had Arian Foster. He did good until he tore his Achilles.
Yep, he's done. And you know, I'm picking up Alfred Blue right now and watch someone pick him up. That's always fucking happens to me. That's how Doug Martin got away. That's how Todd Gurley got away.
Taking L's, that's, dude.
That's how Devontae Freeman got away.
I'm still not 100% sure if I should do this DraftKings. I think I'm going to do DraftKings.
I don't know. I got to see where it goes. Like, I want to make some money first and then see if I should just do DraftKings one week and see what happens.
I have a guy at work. He says that he's not making bank. I mean, he's not one of those stories that you see about on the news. Like, I bet $5 and I made $150,000.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, he put in some games and he's like making some games and he said he got up to like $200.
Huh.
Oh, Jesus. She hit her in the face. God, okay. So, I guess that's a lung blower. You got to kick out of that. You can't be pinned off of that. You can't go home with that. You can't have your homie see that and be like, that's what you got pinned off of. So he made like, he bet like, he apparently played for free. Got up to $200, then like lost it all. And then made like 30 in one match. In one week. And so, I mean, he says he's coming up again. So, I mean, for it to be free, that's pretty good. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Actually, she has a pretty nice moonsault. She is winded as fuck. She has no conditioning. Which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, you're supposed to have conditioning in here. Yes, she did get streaming. I just started the match.
Oh.
Oh, God.
See, I'm not going to be as harsh as y'all. Okay.
No, I'm not. I wasn't even trying to be. It's mostly mofo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hell. No, it's a plusser or nothing.
Hey, man, you know, hey, Mandy Leon can still wrestle in my team.
You feel me?
Exactly. You feel me?
But, like, for real, though, okay.
For finisher, it's just going to be a lateral press. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, but again, back to the non-wrestling.
Colin Obotaya went to the floor.
Back to the non-wrestling news. Like, what's been buzzing on Twitter, like, all day has been the Zola story. I sent you guys a link to it, I guess, so like you can read it on your own time, but like I'll give you the synopsis of it or whatever. So basically this is a Zola girl on Twitter. She starts like making a chain of tweets, going through this whole story of how she met this chick Jess at Hooters. Zola worked at Hooters. They connect, it's all good and all that. And the next thing you know, they exchange numbers. The next day, the Jess girl sends her a message, sends her a text message or calls her or whatever, saying like, "Oh, I'm gonna go down to Florida, and we're gonna make some money in Florida," because apparently both of them strip also. So at first Zola was hesitant. She asked like, who's going with her? Ends up being, she ends up saying, "Oh, it's a boyfriend, her roommate, or slash friend or whatever." That goes along cool, right? So Zola eventually rolls with them, meets the boyfriend, Jarrett, the friends named Z or whatever, and they're going down to Florida. Apparently Z's fiance lives in Florida, goes to the strip club, makes some money, and it's all good at a point. Until they end up start turning tricks. Like the girl Jess starts turning tricks, and apparently Z, who Jess says is a friend, is basically her pimp. so they take a trip down to Florida with the girl's boyfriend and pimp. I guess the boyfriend kind of knew that she was being pimped at some point, but but didn't really know that she was still doing it. So like,
yeah, am I being pimped? Like, I don't think so.
So Z ends up turning tricks. Has her turning tricks. $100 a pop. Only three guys, so it's only $300, right? And then, so the girl, the main character, Zola, who is a real person, like, this is a crazy-ass story, but it's, like, a real person, real people. So the girl, Zola, decides, all right, you know what, this is some bullshit. Like, why are you turning tricks for $100? Let's help it out. So she makes a back page profile, I guess, off her phone or whatever, and takes some pics, uploads the pics, of the Jess girl to Backpage, minimum $500, and next thing you know, she's flooded with a whole bunch of dudes trying to get some of that cat for $500. So she ends up turning trick after trick after trick after trick, and they end up making over $5,500 in one night. Like, and not only that, but then the boyfriend is like furious, calling on the phone, asking, "Where are you?" And they try to lie, saying that they're in a different strip club or whatever.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and it's all bad. But then they're doing this all behind Z's back. Z doesn't know. I think he went off to go see the fiance. Z comes back and asks them how much they made. Jess's dumbass says that they make $5,500.
And, no.
Like, why, right?
Why?
So he takes the money, and, like, he's like, "All right, how'd y'all do this? I only hired three dudes," and then Zola says, and then Jess again opens her big mouth and says, "Oh, Zola made me a Backpage account, she hooked it up." And then Z's like, "Oh, so you can do my job better than me."
Yeah.
All this other shit, like, you, like, it gets, it sounds like intense and shit. It's crazy. But then he kind of cools down, I guess, and then tosses the $500 Zola's way, right? So he gets, yeah, he keeps the $5,000, and then Jess is like, "Oh, what about my money?" And then he's like, "You owe me rent," and then keeps all the money. So they get They get back to the shitty hotel that they hold up in or whatever. The boyfriend is sitting with some dreadheaded nigga, and he's like, oh, that's them now. And then the dreadheaded dude stands up and leaves. He ends up getting into it with Z, because Z is like, why are you telling him our business and all that stuff? You don't know these dudes and blah blah blah. And then he is like, oh, I didn't know, blah blah blah, all this other stuff. Basically, Jarrett was being a little bitch about it. So. And he's all worried and freaked out and all this blah blah and all this other funky stuff. And then next thing you know, so they end up going and staying like elsewhere or whatever, because like Zola refuses to like sleep at that shitty ass motel, and it ends up getting real crazy where they see Jarrett's like freaking out because he knows now that like Jess is turning tricks. Again, she's trapping, per se. she's turning them tricks. And he's flipping out. He's punching himself in the face. Mind you, he's a white boy who's apparently bipolar or something like that. So he's not in his right mind at all. And he's flipping out. And he's losing his damn mind. And next thing you know, Z decides he wants to leave and go visit his fiance again. And tells Zola, mind you, Zola is not known to these people for a whole 24 hours. But he tells Zola to watch Jarrett. But next thing you know, Jarrett goes off and posts on Facebook about how Jess is a prostitute, and Jess is not only like. Following him on Facebook, but also Jess's mother, and Jess has a daughter. The mess on Facebook, how it's just basically been revealed that she's a prostitute to her whole family and friends. So, that's a thing that happens. And they're flipping out. They end up calling Z. Z comes back. He grabs Jarrett, chokes and starts choking him out, and the fiance of Z is there, and she ends up like she's crazy too, and she don't give a fuck. So she's out there and she's like just flipping out and like saying like, yeah, you should beat his ass, you should probably kill him or something like that, and you're like, god damn. Like, so, but then he's like, nah, I'ma humiliate him, I'ma destroy his manhood. So what ends up happening is that Z sits on the bed, the fiance unzips and unbuckles, Z's pants, and then has Jess suck him off. Not only suck him off, but then they have sex, and Jarrett ends up having to watch the whole thing, right?
While he was there,
like all of them were there, even Zola. So and then Zola's there, and she's shocked. She's like, "What the hell is going on here? Like, what did I end up in?" And then like before all this, Jess is trying to say like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Zola. I didn't mean to try to like trick you or anything like that," and blah blah blah, and all this other stuff like that. But after all that's done, Z is like, all right, let me, clean yourself up and get back to business. So he ends up having her, he leaves with his fiance. He tells, he makes Jarrett, he's like, you know, you're going to be the one to drive them to these clients. Zola, you handle this stuff. And then Z slips Zola a gun. Like, he doesn't even know this girl, and then she doesn't know what's going on, but she gets handed the gun and basically tells her she's the boss and make sure that she doesn't, nobody does anything stupid. So, all this shit is wild as hell. Everything is, she gets cleaned up, and nobody talks for a while, and then they end up going back into the car and doing a whole bunch of more back page stuff. Getting clients and all of this crazy stuff. And, it's relatively silent, I guess, and everything's kind of going smoothly until they end up with a client that asks for, like, they ask for four guys. It's going to be four guys, and they wanted two girls. Zola, she's like, hell no, I'm not tricking, no way. So, but eventually they talk them down to, like, just having Jess and just meeting them at whatever place they're staying at, right? So, next thing you know, Zola and Jess go to this hotel room. I think Zola hangs back. As soon as the door opens, two black dudes grab Jess, toss her in the room, and close the door. Zola books it. She calls Jarrett to ask where he is. He goes, he's in the gas station sipping, I guess getting a drink or whatever, and they're like, oh, what the hell should I do? Should I call the cops? And Jarrett's like, oh, don't call the cops. Don't call the cops, man. Just call Z. So call Z. Z's like, what the f*** is going on? And eventually Z's like, all right, hold up and stay there. And I told y'all to wait and watch what's going on. Y'all f***ed it up. Z gets there, and he goes into the hotel room because they end up, like, I guess they end up letting him in. And Zola is around the corner eavesdropping. And then the conversation basically goes that the dudes that grabbed her, you know, that dreadheaded dude that I told you earlier that Jarrett was with, like, when they first, like, stopped, after they first, like, that first round of tricking?
Yeah.
That dreadheaded dude was also a pimp. That dude was also a pimp, and he was mad that Jess was in their territory making bank, and that, because apparently he found her profile on Backpage, and next thing you know, he said that he had asked her, oh, you better join us. She refused, so she got knocked out. Next thing you know, Z is, like, trying to...
Like, punched, knocked out?
Yeah, apparently they knocked her out after they dragged her into the room. So she's knocked out, and then next thing you know, Z walks in, I guess, and you know, he's doing his, trying to negotiate or whatever and get her back. And then next thing you know, you hear a gunshot. Boom. Then after that, Z is seen running out of the room carrying Jess on his on his shoulders. He's darting. And then Zola, of course, comes running after and wonders what the fuck going on. Z's like, oh, dude, it looked like he was reaching for something, so I shot him in the face.
Better him than the other dude.
So, yeah, so, like, they're running away and trying to, getting away from the other dudes, and they hop in the car and then just piece the hell out. Everybody's flipping out. And then Zola's like, all right, I gotta go. This is not me. I'm done with this shit. Next, I think they stay at the Z's fiance's house in the morning, and then, everybody's getting in an argument because, like, Jarrett wants to leave, Zola wants to leave, but of course Jess, since she's being pimped out, she ain't gonna, like, say, oh, I wanna leave too. So, Z ends up buying two plane tickets for Zola and, Jarrett. And eventually, I guess Jess is convinced to stay down there and get pimped out and keep getting pimped out and whatnot. And Jarrett and Zola end up getting on the plane and going back home to Detroit because they went from Detroit to Florida. So they go back to Detroit and Zola's boyfriend goes there and gets there. They help Jarrett get back to his place. Zola tells her boyfriend the whole story, and he's like, he's freaked out by it or whatever. And then, not too long after, Zola gets a phone call, a collect call from Las Vegas. It's Jess. She's been arrested because they got busted for prostitution and stuff like that in Vegas, and she's asking if she can get in contact with Jarrett so she can get bailed out. She hangs up and she ends up calling Jarrett, and then Jarrett's like, oh yeah, I know. And then he basically hangs up from there. And then basically, eventually, Zola finds out that Z had been connected in a whole prostitution and heroin ring, even underage girls. It was insanity. And the funny thing is that before they left to go back to Detroit, Jessel's like, oh, I'm sorry for all of this happening. I hope we can still be, I want us to still be friends. Friends after this. And Zola's like, after this, I do not want to ever see you here again. I don't ever want to see you, period. And then that's that. Like, that's the wild, that's probably like the wildest story I've ever heard. But yeah, you definitely gotta go to that link I sent you, and you'll understand that.
I feel like you just told me the entire story.
No, like, it's even worse. Like, if you really, really read through the whole details, it's even worse. But yeah, check, if you really want to get through the whole detailed nitty-gritty of it, go on a Tumblr or Twitter and search for Zola, Zola or Zola Story, Zola spelled Z-O-L-A, and you'll find it. Not only that, but then you also have, like, people have been trying to investigate what the hell has been going on. Like, is this real? Is this real? And all signs point to it, because, like, apparently somebody found Jess's, like, Instagram account or something like that, and she's even been commenting on it. People blocked out the names and shit like that, so you can't really tell if it's her, but all signs point to this thing being real. Another funny thing about it, Zola deleted all the tweets after the fact, because all of that shit is incriminating herself, too. So, this story is even juicier for the fact that she's probably gonna get locked up after this, if it's really true, because she was in possession of an illegal firearm, and she was soliciting a prostitute, and yeah, she was pipping too. So like, this whole thing is a whole big nasty ass mess. That's the wildest story I've ever heard, like, in a while.
Yeah. That was a lot.
It was a lot, dude. Like,
I didn't know it was that much.
What?
I said I didn't know it was that much. Goddamn. Yeah, so, it was a lot, right? Everybody that was listening, do as he asked. And go to that link.
Search Zola, search it on Twitter, Tumblr, even on Facebook, they probably got something on it, Instagram, whatever, but that's all over social media. That's the craziest story I've ever heard, period.
Yeah.
It was all a right. Old story, too.
Shit, yeah. Okay, alright, so I guess we'll go to a commercial break then, yeah. And regroup ourselves. Mofo, you got some WrestleMania picks?
You know he's been gone for a while, right?
What?
Yeah, dude. he left like 10 minutes ago, dude.
Damn.
Yeah, he got dropped from the call. You know, his stuff's been bad.
Oh, well, guess what? We might as well just either keep on rolling or we could be done.
Because I don't know if we can keep on rolling after this.
Well, shit, we didn't talk about Roderick Strong winning the title.
Oh yeah, that's right. We can still talk about that. And then we got five star wrestlers.
Well, I mean, I still want him to be here for the five star wrestlers too.
Well, I guess we can talk about Roddy now.
Yeah. All right. So for the guys, gals still with us, Roderick Strong is the new Ring of Honor World Television Champion. Jay Lethal had that belt he was the longest champion in wrestling at the time with 567 days as television champion. The band won the title back in 2014 around SuperCard of Honor 8, and he dropped it to Roderick Strong, who Roderick Strong is now the second guy to hold the television title for the second time. And I believe his first title reign was kind of short. No one really remembered it like that. He just had the belt just to have it, you know. And actually,
Jay Lethal lost to Roderick Strong the first time. Now that I looked at the stat sheet, for the first time, Jay Lethal lost to Roderick Strong, and for the second time, Jay Lethal lost to Roderick Strong. So, I like the move. Jay Lethal doesn't need the television title, you know, anymore. He is the Ring of Honor World Champion. I don't think he's gonna be, you know, softened up to lose the title anytime soon. Well, as of right now, so he faces AJ, which actually has been signed. Yes, the main event for Final Battle will be for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Jay Lethal will defend against the phenomenal AJ Styles. Is TNA taking over Ring of Honor's main event? Yes, y'all.
AJ Styles,
he's going up against Jay Lethal. I would actually look forward to that match just as much as Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to both of those, actually. See how well these guys do. And Roderick Strong, who has been rewarded because he's been killing it this year. So, yes, he is still PWG Heavyweight Champion. And now he is back of being the television champion. And hopefully we can get some good old solid matches out of him, continuing from this year on to the next. And he has opponents lined up, because it could be anybody to go up against Roderick Strong. Your thoughts on Roderick Strong becoming the new television champion and dethroning the longest reigning champion in wrestling?
I guess it was something that I felt like would eventually happen. It's gonna be interesting to see where that goes with him.
It was his third time facing Jay Lethal anyway.
Yeah, third time charm. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so they went through that hour. Second time Roderick Strong lost, but then the third time this was for the television championship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. Let the guy go. Let the guy go do his thing here, Roderick Strong. His title reign should be more memorable than the first one. There we go. I got it correct. Alright. I don't know where Vote for Magic is, but if you want to go, we can go. We could do Five Star Wrestling next time, because I would like to have more people than just me and you. It's up to you.
Hold on, what's the options again?
Ooh, wait, what time Empire come on?
It comes on in 12 minutes.
Oh, well, I guess you better go.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking your show come on at 10. I don't know, I don't watch it.
Yeah, it comes on at 9, man. And I doubt Mofo is coming back.
Right.
Coming back.
Right. And I have to get food here. So due to reasons, we're going to end this mama. So get your plugs in, please, and thank you.
All right. Yeah, my plugs. Oh, yeah. Doomsday, 519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, even though I don't post on that shit either. Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube. That's my main YouTube channel. Doomsday Space Gorilla, as in PWG Gorilla. That is my secondary YouTube channel. Definitely check out my videos. I got a good 8 of them or so on my on my main channel, a few on my secondary one. That's my deal.
Go follow us at NNZ Podcast on the Twitter feed. So hopefully we get some new followers. Got a couple. So hopefully we can expand and everybody can listen
start
to us
followers.
Rant. Yeah. Everybody can listen to us rant on wrestling. So, until then, because we don't have Mofo Magic here, I guess we gotta do our own outro, per se. Should we, hey, hey, hey?
Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.
Weed every single day. And this is coming from a drug-free guy. Good night, everybody. We'll see y'all next week.